Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. Today, I'm very excited about this next guest because I get asked a lot what we can do about, you know, if you experience regular bloating, gas, or digestive issues, or maybe you're annoyed with constant aches and pains, or you're tired and you're constantly battling that fatigue and brain fog, especially in the afternoon. Or maybe you find yourself, you know, feeling down, anxious, depressed, or perhaps you're just frustrated with having these constant highs and lows of blood sugar and insulin levels. So if this is something that describes you, you could be battling inflammation. And these are just a few of the many symptoms that we're going to talk about today. But with countless people struggling with inflammation without even realizing it, I'm so excited for today's guest to really heighten the awareness around it, empower us with the knowledge so we can feel in control of our body and return to feeling like our best self. But before I get into that, I want to thank one of my recent listeners, E.L. Janes. You said you began your journey with Burn Bootcamp in February of this year, and to say that your life has radically changed since the day I entered those doors would be an understatement. I'm so thankful to be a part of a community of strong, empowered, and compassionate people. Coffee and Kettlebells has been no exception to the powerful benefits of being part of this community. Morgan's podcast provides honest, transparent, applicable, and useful information about such wide variety of topics. I find myself shouting in agreement and amazement many mornings in the mirror as I listen. Truly thankful for the insight, knowledge, and lessons learned from Coffee and Kettlebells. Thank you so much for that review. Guys, it gives me no greater pleasure than to see those ratings and those reviews and how this podcast is able to help you feel more empowered. But guys, without further ado, I want to introduce our next guest here on the podcast. Dr. Will Cole is returning. Dr. Will Cole is one of the leading functional medicine experts who specializes in clinically investigating underlying factors of chronic disease and customizing health programs for thyroid issues, autoimmune conditions, hormonal dysfunctions, digestive disorders, and brain problems. Dr. Cole was named one of the top 50 functional medicine and integrative doctors in the nation. Dr. Cole is here today to give us the best of the best information on inflammation, what it is, what's causing it, and what we can do about it. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Cole.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back on, and I'm really excited for this conversation.
Yes, and guys, if you haven't listened, I'll make sure to link our previous episodes with Dr. Cole in the show notes because they're really, really great. Today, we're going to talk about inflammation. The word inflammation is being tossed around in health and wellness world like crazy right now. And you came out with a book, and in your book, you refer to it as the age of inflammation. So I think it's widely understood that, you know, it's something that we want to avoid. We don't want inflammation, but I don't think we all quite understand what it actually is. So let's talk first there. What does it mean to have inflammation or to be inflamed?
Sure. So inflammation is a product of our immune system. So in balance, it's actually a great thing. It's a healthy, balanced inflammation levels, fights viruses and bacteria, and it heals our body. It's a good thing. But just like anything in our body, and just like anything on a macro level in our world from environmental issues and beyond, it's all about balance. And you don't want too much inflammation or too low. You want just right at the right time. So the problem with inflammation happens when it's this chronic, insidious inflammation that doesn't go down when it's supposed to. It sort of brews in perpetuity, and that can trigger genetic predispositions. It can really wreak havoc on somebody's health. Through the chronic inflammation and acute inflammation that doesn't go down, that's caused by things like chronic infections or an autoimmune flare, for example, it's inflammation out of balance that is a problem. And it's linked to just about every health problem under the sun, from autoimmune conditions to diabetes, heart disease, cancer, to things like anxiety, depression, and brain fog and fatigue. These are all linked in the scientific literature to being inflammatory health problems, or at least having an inflammatory component. to deal with inflammation as a downstream ripple effect is one of my jobs as a functional medicine practitioner, but also to find out what the upstream cause of it is, what is fueling the inflammation to be higher, because it impacts so many people. I mean, those health issues that I just mentioned is impacting the majority of the human race today, sadly. Right. So when I say this is the age of inflammation, you can just look at the statistics where it's 50% of the United States is insulin resistant or pre-diabetic or diabetic, and the amount of heart disease and cancer that's ravaging our society, and 50 million Americans have an autoimmune condition. And then so many millions more are somewhere on this inflammation spectrum, which is what the title of my second book is the inflammation spectrum. Is it exists on a continuum from one side of the inflammation spectrum being full-blown diseases, and you know, someone's labeled with a ICD-10 code or diagnosis code, and they're told, hey, you have this autoimmune condition or this disease process, all the way to the other end of the inflammation spectrum being low-grade fatigue or anxiety or brain fog or aches and pains or digestive issues, and then everything in between on that inflammation spectrum. So part of the job of this book is really to educate people on how inflammation impacts our health and then what to do about it.
Yeah. And what I liked about the book too is that there are different types of inflammation. So talk to us a little bit about that, because it's probably right to say that one size does not like treat all, or, you know, one cure does not treat all. There's different types of inflammation that you can be having. So talk to us a little bit about why we shouldn't generalize inflammation and how many different categories of inflammation there truly are.
With the inflammation spectrum, there are seven sort of areas in the body that that inflammation can impact the most. So what I would see when I my day job is consulting patients online. So the main areas that I see impacting people are issues of the brain and the neurological system, things like anxiety, depression, brain fog, fatigue, hormonal issues. So that is people that have hormonal resistance, like insulin resistance, but then thyroid resistance and HPA axis issues, which is commonly referred to as adrenal fatigue, female hormone imbalances. Those oftentimes are inflammatory or have inflammatory components because the hormone receptor sites are blunted and they're not, you don't have hormonal communication that's balanced because of inflammation. And then obviously musculoskeletal issues like fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, just to, you know, tight muscles and joints. Digestive issues, obviously, with autoimmune digestive issues, but also just people with things like IBS or constipation, diarrhea, oftentimes are inflammatory. The list goes on and on. There's about seven main sections. And then there's this concept of polyinflammation that I talk about in the book, too, because our body is so brilliantly interconnected that if one area is off, you can have inflammation in other parts of the body. So those are the main systems on the inflammation spectrum. But to your point, too, I think that inflammation is a very broad term. So the question is, what's fueling your inflammation? And then what aspect of inflammation, or what is the driver of inflammation? So some of the labs that I talk about in the book, people can have these ran. We run them for patients, but patients, you know, people can have them ran with any doctor. High sensitivity C-reactive protein. This is an inflammatory marker. We want it under 1 in functional medicine. Homocysteine, we want it under 7. That's another inflammatory marker. And we look at gut health because a lot of gut-centric inflammation can go on. We look at intestinal permeability or leaky gut syndrome, which can fuel inflammation. And then obviously this big world of autoimmunity. So looking at predictive autoimmunity labs, running, seeing if the immune system is actually attacking certain parts of the body with these inflammatory cytokines. And then we have to look at the genetic component of it too, because it's the cup analogy. Some people are born with big cups and some people are small cups. That's their genetic tolerance to stressors, things like foods and toxins and stress, et cetera. A lot of our patients have smaller cups, so to speak. You look at some people and they're smoking 3 packs a day and drinking and they live a long life. And then some people eat really good comparatively, but they're still struggling and they have flare-ups even to healthy foods. Well, oftentimes those people have smaller cups and they're overflowing pretty quickly. And you can't change your genetics, but you can change what you put into your cup. So we have to look at that framework, that genetics, which is a component. It's estimated that a third of the sort of inflammation puzzle is genetics, and then two thirds are the lifestyle things, all the things we can control. So we look at methylation gene SNPs like MTHFR, and then there are other gene SNPs like the endocannabinoid system, different gene SNPs that make some people more sensitive to food sensitivities and inflammation issues and these autoimmune spectrum issues too. So that's my long-winded view of inflammation, because it's so unique and we're all different. We should find out what works for our body and what doesn't.
Like you said, there's seven kind of types of inflammation. And there was just a couple that I wanted to touch on only because I think it's the most common ones that I'm probably hearing about in the Burn Bootcamp community. So let's start with musculoskeletal system. And you, so you mentioned like joint pain. Did you say arthritis as well?
Yeah.
So that's kind of one category of inflammation. What would you say are the signs and symptoms that you're seeing with people coming in with that type of inflammation?
Well, it depends on how progressed they are on the inflammation spectrum. I think on one end, it's tight muscles and joints, feeling maybe, you know, a little sore. And then all the way down on the other side of that musculoskeletal arm on the inflammation spectrum, so to speak, it is the rheumatoid arthritis, it's the osteoarthritis, it's the fibromyalgia, it's things like that. And it's a continuum, so it's everything in between too. You can have mild inflammation there or extreme inflammation, but those are some common things. And people can find that out. I mean, in the book, we have the inflammation spectrum quiz, so they can kind of see, okay, what areas are we impacting, maybe impacting me the most? And then depending on where you're at on the inflammation spectrum, each one gets a toolbox so they can tailor and customize it specific to their quiz results.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit on diet here, because I know that certain foods that we have in our diet can cause inflammation, but those foods aren't always the same for everyone. Is that true?
Certainly, yeah. So what works for one person can flare the next person up. And I've seen every variable under the sun be possible when you're dealing with people with health issues. So the part of the goal of the book, The Inflammation Spectrum, is to finding out what your body loves and what your body hates. And we're all created differently. And there's not a one-size cookie-cutter-fits-all approach, because we are all so different with so many variables, from just personal preferences to lifestyle to genetics to microbiome balance to all these issues. So we have to really take into consideration bioindividuality, which is a main component or tenet within the book, which is a main tenet within functional medicine, really, to really educate people on that. And we just teach how to do a thorough, customized elimination diet approach to calm inflammation, and then bring one food back in at a time based on your quiz results. You can really see, again, where do you feel the best? What foods actually make you feel worse? Because this is not about being dogmatic about diet or shaming people about food, but I want people to be empowered, because when you know, hey, this food makes me feel great, then people are more empowered to go back and do that, because people want to feel great. And then conversely, if a food makes you feel lousy and you know that, people are way more likely to say, look, I love feeling better more than I miss that food, because they actually end up not missing that food at all.
Right.
Because they value that, they have so much self-worth and they feel so great that it's like, why would I ever trade feeling great in for that bite of whatever that, that flares you up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really getting really in tune with your body at the end of the day. And like you said, testing a lot of things and being willing to, you know, listen to your body and make adjustments accordingly. All right, let's move on to hormonal inflammation. So another one that I think, as we serve 98% women in the Burn Bootcamp community, what are some of the causes of this type of inflammation?
It typically is some communication dysfunction or imbalance between the brain and the endocrine system. So you have what's called the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, or the HPA axis, and that's basically the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland of the brain communicating with the adrenal glands in this example. Or then you have the hypothalamic pituitary thyroid axis, or the HPT axis, and then the brain ovarian or testicular axis as well. Those are the main, and then obviously the pancreas with insulin. those are the main systems, basically. And when you look at either thyroid hormone imbalance or cortisol, adrenal imbalances, oftentimes they have something to do with that brain hormonal communication, or then the hormone production, or you have this cellular resistance pattern similar to insulin resistance, where there's nothing wrong with the communication with the brain and the endocrine glands. There's nothing wrong with the production of the hormones, but the cell is on, like, wherever this hormone is supposed to go, it's not communicating with the hormone. So it's like a baseball mitt, so to speak, that's arthritic and not picking up the hormone or the baseball like it should. Mm-hmm. So that you need that to activate that hormone to actually be usable. So for example, many people can have thyroid resistance where their hormones look fine on the basic labs that their doctors run, but then the thyroid hormone is not getting on the cell, and that's making people feel fatigued, or they're having brittle hair and nails, or they're having digestive problems or low libido or whatever is the manifestation of that hormone imbalance. So that's inflammation. Inflammation is what blunts those cellular receptor sites to these hormones. So many women are going through these hormonal imbalances. Well, what's the imbalance part? We throw that word imbalance around a lot, but what's going on there? Is it a hormone resistance problem, or is it the brain not speaking to the endocrine gland? But all of that's inflammation. If the brain is not speaking to the endocrine gland, oftentimes it's because it's under stress of some sort of low-grade inflammatory problem. So it's really this common link, this chronic link of inflammation.
Yeah. And what's kind of the consequences if we don't treat that, you know, and get those hormones rebalanced, or to get our brain talking to all of our systems? What are some of the long-term consequences that we could have?
The problem is that these are chronic, oftentimes chronic degenerative issues, meaning they degenerate over time, and they typically, left to their own devices, don't get better. And this isn't to scare people or like fear monger. This is just to say, look, at the very, like, going the road that someone's going on, not feeling great, at the very least, they're going to stay the same, which is optimal either. Like, feeling low grade anything like this is not great and not fun. Or they oftentimes have the opportunity and have the potential to degenerate. I mean, chronic health problems on average, like when you look at autoimmune conditions on average, it took about 10 years prior to the diagnosis for that to get that bad, where they say, well, this is whatever it is, whatever disease you want to talk about. So these, and that's same with diabetes and these other chronic diseases too. It takes about a decade for things to get bad. So when people start seeing these check engine lights in their life, I feel fatigued, or I have brain fog, or I have digestive problems, or I have a low sex drive, or whatever it is, even if it's the most innocuous in their mind, like I can make through it, I'm going to ignore it, I'm going to go about my life, that is your body's check engine light. So people need to realize we need to not just cover up the check engine light and keep on driving, you know, with a medication or whatever it is, a stimulant if they're fatigued, whatever it is. We have to look underneath the hood, proverbially speaking, and actually seeing what's causing that check engine light to be on in the first place. Mm-hmm. So the goal of the inflammation spectrum in the book is to illuminate and raise awareness to the fact of people, like you said, being in tune with their body. When people are in tune with their body, they can make conscious decisions to really start improving their life.
Yeah. Once they take that in the book, you know, and they kind of understand what they're dealing with, what the category is, and what they can start doing, what are the next steps for someone to take, you know, to really heal from inflammation? Does it go to diet, or does then it go to go see this doctor and get this testing done? What are some of the steps people can take that are listening to this right now and they're saying, you know what, that sounds like me, I've got inflammation?
Yeah, so I would say first they could take the inflammation spectrum quiz if they don't have labs. And we have it in the book, but we also have it on drwilcole.com. We have the quiz online. Then at that point, they could kind of see from a subdiagnostic standpoint, this isn't a lab, but this is just sort of data to look and see generally what may be going on. Mm-hmm. And at that point, they can see, okay, maybe they want to run the labs, and you can run the labs that we recommend, the book that I mentioned earlier. And then, or maybe they don't want to run the labs because not everybody's at that point. They may just want to start off without having it to have a doctor, and that's certainly fine as well. I would start with food, and we have to look at the foods that are causing the most inflammation, and that is different from person to person. Mm-hmm. But you have to create a baseline to to calm things down, take the things that are most likely statistically to cause inflammation with cases like you. And at that point, upon reintroduction, when you go, I recommend in the book, starting with at least 4 weeks eating clean for people that are on the lower end on the inflammation spectrum, and then people that are more progressed and have higher inflammation scores to go 8 weeks. And then they do just a very easy, systematic reintroduction of foods, and they will find what foods their body loves and hates very simply. But it's not just about food. And that's the other component that I talk about in the book, because you could be eating the best food under the sun. You know, you could be chowing down on kale and chugging down kombucha all day long. But if you're serving your body a big slice of stress every day, that's going to be counteracting all the good things you're eating, all the good wellnessy stuff that you know about.
Right.
So we have to talk about this other stuff that is so much harder. It's easier to control your foods. It's harder to serve. What are you serving your mind and your spirit? And we talk about these, what we call in the book, non-food inflamers, these things that I often see in my clinic that drive inflammation up. Things like social media addiction, or like the phenomenon of FOMO in our society of people screwing endlessly. And that's creating this anxiety and stress and shame. And that's raising cortisol and impacting inflammation cascades. All the way down to not being active enough, something that I know that you're a major advocate for, and people not being sedentary, which can drive inflammation levels up. So there's so many things beyond food, but hopefully I boiled it down to the essentials so people can start taking action steps, because I don't want to overwhelm people or stress them out about their health. That's the antithesis of what I want to do.
Right.
But really give people simple action steps to start feeling better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's so great about the book. It really does break it down. You do a great job with that. And guys, we'll make sure to link it here and where you can purchase that. Before we wrap things up here, what would be your biggest takeaway for someone to, you know, take action on right now? Is it a food group that they should be eliminating? Maybe not a food group, but what would be your biggest takeaway from this podcast that you want someone to get out of it?
I would say this. I would just, for people to be more in tune with their bodies, and something that I say in the book is that you can't heal a body you hate. You can't shame your way into wellness. And so many people are, the last thing we need as a society is another fad diet. The goal of what I'm, my whole teaching of my patients and the book and everything that I do, is for people to have the freedom to know what their body loves and doesn't love, so they can live their best life. They can go and do the activities they want to do and have the energy to do that and not feel miserable or have these horrible inflammatory flare-ups that so many people have today. And just because something's common doesn't make it normal. And growing health problems, growing medication lists, feeling lousy is certainly ubiquitous, but it should not be normalized. And in the most cases, these health issues that we face chronically as a society are overcomable, manageable, reversible, like healable things. So that's the thing, is really even sparking that awareness that that's even possible. So many people just go about their life and they just look at people around them and they think, well, this is, I guess this is just part of getting older. I guess it's just, just how it's supposed to feel. Well, if you cannot look at our country's statistics and consider that normal, it's just common.
Right. Yeah, no, I that's great advice. I agree. And just don't settle for not feeling your best is just such a great message for sure. All right. So I've had you on the podcast. This will be the third time. I know I've asked you questions, those fire questions at the end. So I've got some different ones for today just for you. What is the number one health myth or misconception that drives you the most crazy? And what is the truth?
Number one health myth. There's so many. I don't know. I don't remember what I said, if I said anything last time, but I would say that fats would be like, fat is bad for you. I think that could be one of them.
Okay.
Healthy fats are good for you. And then there's unhealthy fats. So definitely having conversation about fats. And I would say too, that wellness is quackery. You know, there's nothing, there's nothing crazy or new about getting healthy. And that's the conversation we're having in functional medicine. And somehow that's still threatening and we have to be, you know, demonized and divided. But our goal is just to restore health. So I think that's probably the biggest, the two biggest myths, I would say.
Yeah, I love it. All right. With so many trending superfoods and supplements, what is the simplest, healthiest, and most overlooked food that we should start including into our diet?
Hmm. I would say overlooked superfood. For me, I'm so partial here, but I love avocados in a major way. Unless someone has like a FODMAP issue, which mm-hmm. has to do with gut issues, I think FODMAP or the avocado is one of the top superfoods with amazing clean monounsaturated fats, great B vitamins, good fiber. So it's a superfood that many people see it in their guacamole bowl, but they don't realize that this is something that they can really bring into their life to get healthy fat for their brain and their hormones and their skin and their hair, all of that.
Yes. And it's so easy. I mean, they think of guacamole or maybe salads, but like I put mine in my smoothie and it makes it so delicious. So
yeah,
that's supreme, a simple tip.
Yeah, great.
Okay. So what is the one thing that you wish everyone knew when it comes to living a healthier lifestyle?
I would say going back to what I said earlier is you can't heal a body you hate, because ultimately too, I think there's so much orthorexia in the wellness world right now that mm-hmm. I really want to start to dissemble and start to rise up grace and lightness into wellness again, because there's obsession about food or like shaming about certain diets or fighting and dividing people over diets. Like should not be a Twitter war over food. This should just be, look, like we have a problem in our country. Let's like come together and use food as medicine.
Yeah.
So I would say just bringing a grace and lightness back into wellness is my mission.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Dr. Cole, where can our listeners hear more from you and where can they buy your book?
Yeah. Thanks again for having me. Everything's at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. Take the inflammation spectrum quiz. You can pre-order the book. There's video classes on there. We offer a free health evaluation if people want to get a functional medicine perspective on their case online. So we can do that as well. So everything's at drwillcole.com.
Awesome. Well, guys, go check it out. Tons of great resources. As always, we appreciate your time today and being on the podcast.
Thanks again.
All right. Talk to you later. Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of coffee and kettlebells with me today. To find a recap of today's show, be sure to check out the Burn Bootcamp blog. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells and follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.klein. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of coffee and kettlebells.